Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day when we can open your word and when we can share it in a way that honors and glorifies you. And Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being the God who through your Spirit moves us as we serve you. And Lord, as we remember Tony and Maria, and we send them off, they're in your hands. And Lord, you will use them in mighty and great ways because they've put yourself there as vessels of honor. And Lord, we pray that one of these days when we hear their names, it would be for the great things you've done through them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're leaving one elder and ordaining another. And then we're also doing Pastor Appreciation Month. And so I'm taking a break from the Gospel of John, and we're going to be looking at elders. In the case of Brother Cabello in the Spanish service, we are going to be starting his position as an elder here. And with Tony, we're going to look at it and sort of evaluate and look at what kind of an elder he's been. And it comes out very, very well. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see Paul talking to Timothy, and Timothy was an elder at the church at Ephesus. And another word that is used synonymous with elder in the New Testament is the word that is here transliterated bishop. And of course, Tony and I know what bishops are. They move on a diagonal on a chessboard. But most people, when they think of bishops, they think of the guy with these hats, you know. And the word bishop is just an old English transliteration, not a translation, of the Greek word that means an overseer, someone who watches over. And so that's what elders are. Elders, including the pastor and those others who are ordained as elders in the church, are those who are called to oversee, to watch over, to care for the flock of God. And it says in 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a faithful saying that if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. And I want you to notice what it says here. It doesn't say he desires a good place or he desires a good standing or a good, you know, throne. It says that the overseer desires a work. A work is something you do. See, being a bishop or being an elder is not a special priesthood. And the church has made it into that, even in many Protestant churches and evangelical churches, where the pastor, the elders are above everybody else. When I was ordained, I got the title Reverend. I'm not a reverend. I remember in Living by Faith San Antonio, we had a guy who made signs. He made our cross that we have up here and made neon signs and other signs. It was his job. And he was a wonderful guy. His name is Louis Bratton, and he is just funny and just always sees the funny side of things. And he, like me, just didn't like titles. Now, I had started driving in 1990. I started driving rather late. And my first car, I have been the privileged owner of two of what are considered the 10 world's worst cars. I had a Gremlin, and then we had a Gremlin, and then we had a Yugo. I had a Yugo, one of those little aluminum boxes on toy wheels. And so Louis made me a sign for my window of my Yugo. It said, "The Rev." And the reason he put the sign is because you can't take a title seriously when you've got the Rev on the back window of a Yugo. You know, I'm the pastor. And I loved it. Because it's not about being a bishop. You know, the church has taken it so that they say only the pastor and other elders or bishops can baptize. No, we don't do that here at Living by Faith. At Living by Faith, if you've led someone to the Lord, you get the privilege of baptizing them if you want that privilege. Because the Great Commission is to go out and baptize and make disciples, baptizing and teaching. It doesn't say just the elders baptize. It just says you go out, you win people to Christ, you baptize them, you teach them. And so we do it that way. If somebody leads their kid to the Lord and they want to do the baptism, I'll be there, you know, if they want me to be there. And then we go out to the ocean or wherever and they'll baptize the child. Because it's not a position of, like, they've made baptism and the Lord's Supper into magic. You know, and it's not. And so it's not a special priest. We are all, the Bible says, a kingdom of priests. So it's not a special priesthood where only they can baptize and only they can preach the word and only they can do the Lord's Supper. No, that's not what it is at all. See, they're not lords, but they're servants. Which is what we're all supposed to be, because Christ said he is great among you, let him be your servant. And so 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3 talks about that. Peter tells the elders, he says, don't lord it over your congregation. And this is one of the things. So I heard what they said about Tony. He's humble. Now Tony, if he talks about the world, he has reasons not to be humble. This man is one of the elite lawyers and law professors in the country. He's written an actual textbook for West Law. He's, you know, that doesn't happen with many. He's an expert, one of the best in his area of international business law. He has, if anybody say, you know, you see some of these other lawyers, you know, you can see them on TV, you know, just call the fours. But Tony is humble because he knows that his calling, even in law, is to be a servant. He's helped us in so many ways like that. He's not up there, you know, it's one of the things I love about Living by Faith Church. We've got people of all economic groups here, especially in the Spanish. We got all the way from people who are, you know, undocumented illegals to Tony, lawyers, doctors. And nobody says, I'm better than you. And nobody puts that example better than Tony has. Not lords, but servants, and not hirelings. You know, Jesus says about shepherds, he says, a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. A hireling, when the bear comes, he zips. And Tony and the elders, they're not hirelings. Their life is their work in the Lord. And he's shown that. They oversee with shepherd's care. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, he tells him, he says, shepherd the flock of God. Now, a shepherd does two things with his sheep. He watches over them and he keeps the bears and the lions away. That's there. But usually shepherding is fairly peaceful. You got a bunch of sheep and they're eating. But a shepherd has to do two things. First, he feeds them. Now, I've gone to Tony and Maria's house and had some pretty good real food. You know, used to have Thanksgiving with them. And boy, I'll tell you, Thanksgiving at Tony and Maria's is a wonderful thing. But as good as their cooking was and is, we're talking here about spiritual food. An elder needs to be a good Bible teacher. And so he needs to feed the flock of God. He oversees them, he feeds them, he teaches with authority. In chapter 3, verse 2 of 1 Timothy, a bishop, it says, must be, at the end of that verse says, able to teach. And one of the things about Tony, he's known here at church and in the seminary, and of course after 20 years as a law professor at Pepperdine, Tony was able to teach. People come out of Tony's class learning. How many of you ever had one of those teachers that you don't come out of their class learning? I had one math teacher back in high school who ruined me for math. I'm good with numbers, but I hate it. And I hate it because of this guy. He just... you go to a class, he's the kind of guy, he had a brain full of numbers. He could figure out the orbits of the planets on the board without a computer. But he couldn't teach it worth a lick. You go out of there and say, oh, he's a good mathematician and I'll never be there. But no, a good elder will teach. And you go out of there not thinking, boy, he's a great teacher, but wow, have I learned. Now, it means he's a great teacher. But your head is full of knowledge. That's why you're a great teacher. And your heart is full of wisdom. And Tony has fed his flock, such as it is, whether it's at seminary or in Sunday school or wherever, he's been apt to teach. I've known a lot of elders who are not. So he feeds it. When Peter, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, when he came and Jesus asked, do you love me? Peter said, well, you know. And Jesus' answer was always the same. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep, Peter. And if I want to be known for one thing when I get out of here is that I fed my sheep. Tony's done a good job of being an example on that. But the second thing is an elder's meant to heal. James chapter 5 talks about that. He says, when a person is sick, let him call upon the elders of the church. And the elders of the church will come and anoint them with oil and lay hands upon them, and they will be healed. Now, we're not just talking physical healing. Physical healing is there. God will heal. I've seen it many, many times. But in the whole context, he brings in confession of sin and forgiveness and all those other things that come into healing, not just the body, but the soul, the spirit. And so a good elder works to heal people in their body, in their soul, in their spirit, as he works to bring them closer to the Jesus who is the true Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And again, we're not talking about some hocus pocus magical healing. The healer is obviously always going to be the Lord. And sometimes he heals your disease now, and sometimes he heals it later, and he'll heal all of them when we go to be with him. But God is a healing God. And it's much more important to God that you be healed on the inside. And a good elder will work to heal on the inside. And one of the things that Tony does is he seminars. And they're his seminars. I gave him the name, but they're his seminars. Sharing Shalom is the name of the seminars. And he does these. And they're mediation seminars. They're seminars about how to heal relationships and situations in conflict. And that is in Tony's heart. That when there's a conflict, we're to heal it. It's what Jesus told us to do. He says he's given us, in 2 Corinthians 5, given us the ministry of reconciliation. And so Tony is a reconciler. And as an elder, as a shepherd, as an overseer, he does that. He feeds, he heals. And he's done that for years. And unfortunately for us, he's now going to do his healing elsewhere. But blessed for them. Some church in Dallas is going to get a real healer on their hands. And I hope they appreciate what they get. Now, the passage we read today talks about an elder's character, a proven character and testimony in 1 Timothy 3. In verse 6, it says, not a novice. You know, it says this takes time. New people that come in and they are immediately put up. And this has been so sad. I've watched it so often with celebrities. They don't make them elders. We don't make them elders, but we do put them up in front. I remember when one of the, I don't know how he ever became famous as a singer. He's a good songwriter, but he sings through his nose. Hold on, Bob Dylan. Yeah, through his nose. And then I remember when he came out, and he says, he was born, his last name Zimmerman. He was a Jew and he came to Christ. And immediately they put him out and they had him record three really amazing Christian albums. They were really good albums. But he wasn't ready. And then the next album he recorded after that, he threw all that away and has never gone back to recording anything Christian. I don't know his heart. But they took this new person and they put him up as the latest Christian star. He wasn't ready. So an elder, it says here, should not be new in the Lord. He should have had time to develop. And Tony, he had many, many years where the Lord honed him and shaped him. And it talks about his testimony in these verses and his character, his inward character, how he shouldn't be a brawler and shouldn't be a fighter and shouldn't be given to much wine and all the other things. And then his family testimony, how he treats his wife. And I've watched Tony and Maria, and I'll tell you what, that's a good marriage. I'll tell you, they walk, like I said in the early thing, they slither at night walking down the sidewalks, you know, like we older people do, you know. Hand in hand, smiling and laughing. Love it. It's so good. And their children, you know, they weren't perfect. We had some big prayer times with their kids, just like we've had with mine. But they love the Lord now, and they're serving the Lord. And you've got these two cute grandkids. Sons, and we always get to hear all the Evanisms and stuff like that. And all wonderful. And they have a testimony, it says, towards those who are without in verse 7. Moreover, they have good testimony among those who are outside, lest they fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. See, Tony, nobody's come to me in all the years I've known him. Nobody's come to me. You know, Tony's one of those shyster lawyers. Don't go to Tony. He'll really, you know, I'm never going to hear the words Tony Mendoza and Avenatti in the same breath. And I'm glad. Unless it's Tony led Avenatti to the Lord or something like that. He's got a testimony. He's a straight shooter. He tells you the way it is. Now, the church has to have a response to elders. The trouble with today, in our church today, is we'll listen, but we don't give authority where authority is due. And so the first thing the Bible tells us we're supposed to do is to remember our elders and to obey and submit to them. And that's in Hebrews chapter 13. And I want us to notice this. And of course, I'm saying it now when Tony's going, so you're not going to be doing it with him anymore. But we've got other elders. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of your conduct. Verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch for your souls as those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable, not for them, but for you. So the first thing we need to do without is when you have an elder, and I don't care if it's Tony or me or Brother Perez or Brother Cabello, who will be ordained today, if they give you spiritual advice, really take it into account. Because we have not put men in this church who speak flippantly about spiritual things. Listen. Submit. It's profitable for you. Second, honor. The Bible talks about giving the elders double honor in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 17 and 18. Tony deserves some honor. Not because he's looking for it. Like I said, Tony's a humble man. He's not looking for your honor. But Tony's done a good work. That's why we're glad to give him a nice meal and send him off. I'd like to give him a nice restaurant and send him off or something. It's more than just a meal. Tell you what, I'm going to do that. I'm going to give him a La Haiba gift card so he has to come back here and use it, because there's none of those over there in Dallas. Protect their reputation. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 19. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Oh, I know how that works. I heard things about me from the previous churches. I wouldn't want anybody to be said about that. Nobody saw them. There wasn't one witness, let alone two or three. People will gossip about elders. Why? Because Satan's trying to destroy the church. And it's up to us to protect their reputations. Did you say that? No, I didn't say that. I just heard it from someone who's heard it from someone who's heard it from someone. Then shut the mouth. Go away. Protect their reputation. Tony's got a good reputation because he's got people around who's going to protect his reputation. But the last, and it's a counterbalance to this, hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. When there is something, verse 20 and 21, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all that the rest may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. See, and Tony would be the first one to tell you, if you see something I'm doing wrong, let me know. Now he's leaving us. And he's been a rock. And now someone else is going to step in and take the place in the troop and go forward as we fight the good fight. And we're sending this soldier off to another battlefield. But I want you all to keep him in your prayers as we go forward. And as he goes forward, that one of these days he'll stand before the Lord, and there will be no rebuke, no denying of his name before the angels. Nothing but, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time in your word, for Tony, for Maria, for their lives and their example and all that they've done. And Lord, this has been a very personal sermon, not a general one. Lord, this has been an honor to a man who has fulfilled the characteristics that you put in your word for elders. And Lord, that he may feel honored as he leaves here, knowing we recognize what you've done in this man of God. And we pray these things now in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.